Hi there, WGRT listeners. This is Jessie Wiegand with an edition of Limelight, your connection to the people influencing culture, commerce, and community here in Port Huron, Michigan, and beyond. Today's guest is Dr. Garrett Saldano, the founder of the group Stand Up Michigan, formerly Michiganders Against Excessive Quarantine.
We'd like to really start at the beginning, Garrett, and could you just share with our listeners, why did you start this Facebook group in the first place?
Absolutely. And I always tell everybody, you know, for a lot of my life, I've always wanted to just stay in the shadows. I didn't want to voice my perception on things because I didn't want to receive the social backlash of doing those things. But when I always tell everybody from the beginning, our movement was not against the quarantine. We weren't. Nobody knew what this virus was going to do. So we were all in support of protecting society and doing our part for the greater good. But 5 weeks ago, when the governor came down with her executive orders stating that, you know, what we could and could not buy, where we could, where we can and can't go, you know, you can go on a kayak, but you can't go on a motorboat, you can't go golfing anymore. And so when she took away our sacred values, our citizens' rights and constitutional freedoms, you know, I started this movement for myself. I wanted a platform for my voice to be heard. And when I've told this story several times in the last 2 days, I'm sure my listeners are sick and tired of hearing it, but at the end of that first day, 500 people joined. And when I went to bed that night, I was amazed that, wow, there's 500 people out there that feel just like I do. And then when I woke up the next morning, it was like 5,000 and 9,000. And then I was like, wow. And over the next 3 days, we grew by 100,000 people. And 3.5 days later, we were at 300,000 people. And then overnight, Facebook censored us. So we were growing 100,000 a day. And then the next day, we only grew like 1,000. And so we're like, okay. And so we feel that we were starting to get censored. Things weren't being showed up. And over the next several weeks, we grew all the way slowly up to 385,000 before Facebook took us down 2 days ago.
Yeah. Well, as a member of the media, censorship really is something frustrating and kind of unacceptable, kind of worries us on our end, like that Facebook could literally just begin filtering out your voice from clearly people that want to hear it and are, you know, share some of your opinions. Why do you think those things were happening? What do you feel was happening on your group that warranted Facebook beginning to censor you?
Well, obviously, you know, when you grow that fast, you know, we call them trolls, the people that get in there and stir some things up. And we had an unbelievable team of admin and moderators trying to clean all that up. And so we are a bipartisan, nonviolent, positive movement. And we did our best with trying to clean out the hate so much, in fact, that a lot of our members thought we were, you know, censoring them. And we just kept, you know, reassuring everybody like, hey, this is a positive movement. Keep the hate, keep the negativity out of here. You know, voice your stories, voice your concerns, but let's clean it up. And two policy things that we got from Facebook was one, we were really involved with doing what's called call to action with our members, because that's what I feel that we developed is a platform for our members to voice their frustration. Because what I found out through this humbling experience is there are a lot of Michiganders out there who are hurting, who are frustrated, who are angry, who are scared. And this movement that we started, this platform we created, allowed them to vent that. And so that's why I feel so blessed that we were able to go as long as we did, because if you have 400,000 people with all this built-up negative energy, that's when bad things happen in our society. And so when Facebook just decided to shut us down overnight, everybody lost that expression, and that's worrisome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
When we did the call to action a couple weeks ago, where we had all of our members email their elected officials, the senators, the public email that's available to us, and we told them, you know, email your senators and voice your stories and voice your concerns and tell them not to basically support the extension of the governor's executive orders. And so we did that. And when my advisory team member, Kevin, did this, he got blocked from Facebook, I think, for 2 days. He wasn't able to post anymore. And he just got a message that basically said that he was not allowed to post because he went against Facebook guidelines. And we don't know what that was. We were just doing what American citizens are supposed to be doing, emailing their senators and giving their perception of things.
Right.
And then the second time it happened, which resulted in us shutting down, is obviously everybody knows about Carl the Barber in Owosso, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
who decided to stand up, 77-year-old barber that, you know, wasn't collecting unemployment. He didn't have a paycheck, so he decided that it's either his business goes under or he opens up as fast as safe as possible. And so I went there just to basically report the news of what was going on. And what's kind of comical about the situation is when I was doing that, there were three news crews there, ABC, NBC, and Fox News, all
mm-hmm.
reporting the same news I was doing. And I wasn't interviewing anybody. I just basically went in and went Facebook Live like I'm doing right now and just reported what was going on. And 2 days ago, I get a message from Facebook. It says they had a picture of my video that had like 60,000 views on it at that time. It says it went against Facebook guidelines of abdicating the spread of disease.
Hmm.
And I didn't know how I did that, especially when there were three other networks there. And so I feel that they're trying to censor the media now.
So it is kind of disturbing. I know, I'm thinking, good grief, is Facebook going to start censoring our radio station because we're talking about this and trying to inform our listeners about what's going on in the community and in Michigan as a whole? It's actually kind of creepy. So
it really is. And I think not only Michiganers, but I feel all Americans, we just want the truth. You know, just
mm-hmm.
just give us the truth and then let us figure it out, because I really believe that the solutions must come from us, we the people, not the government. And that's why this group has evolved into another group, an organization that we formed now, and that's called Stand Up Michigan. We
yes.
have started another Facebook page called Stand Up Michigan, and it grew. It's growing even faster than the original group, and we're, I think, over 50,000 members right now. And what we're trying to do is, number one, care. We want to care for the people of Michigan, all right? So we want to connect them to local businesses. We want to connect them to local churches, so we can start recovering as fast and as safe as possible. And we want to do that by informing the people of Michigan, right? So giving them what you just said, trusted, reliable, up-to-date information to empower us. And that's where the truth comes in. And when people have all of this fantastic information, I really feel that we can use common sense and solutions to get us to move Michigan forward, and that's where the activation comes in. Because when people are empowered, when people are educated about what's going on, we can start to activate, and then we can start to move and get resolutions on the floor to our politicians so they can start doing the right things to get us out of this hole that we have dug ourselves in. And so that's what this movement is about, and that's why we've evolved this now, not only off of Facebook, but Stand Up Michigan is an official organization now. We have our website that went live last night, standupmichigan.com. We're on YouTube, obviously, with over 10,000 subscribers right now at Stand Up Michigan. Me, personally, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. So we're trying to create all these platforms. So if Facebook decides to lay down the hammer again and get us off our Facebook page, there is other platforms for our members to go to get help. And one of the stories that I shared yesterday, well, like I said, going throughout this entire process has been very humbling, because Michigan has been the center of this whole thing, and our movement has now boiled over to other states, and this movement is spreading at an astronomical pace, and we're trying to keep up with it. But as we start to continue to evolve this, we're just trying to help us and help Americans move forward out of this. And so our ultimate goal in our organization right now is to make sure that this never happens again. So no governor, and that's why we're bipartisan, because we don't care if you're a Republican, a Libertarian, Independent, Democrat, no governor in these United States should ever have this amount of power to rule over us. Our government is founded on bipartisanship, of people working together, not one person making the calls. Because I gave this example yesterday, is the governor of Indiana, and I still don't know if the guy's a Republican or Democrat, but I feel that he's using common sense governing right now, because in Indiana, where I live pretty close to the Indiana border, is they're open up right now, 50% capacity in the malls, in the restaurants. You know, people are moving about. And what is being sent to me are pictures of parking lots at these restaurants and businesses, and half the parking lots filled with Michiganers, meaning mm-hmm. Michigan is traveling over the border, taking their money and spending it in Indiana, And if we're so worried about the spread of COVID, why is it spreading in Indiana right now? Because they're doing really good. And what that governor also has done is there's three counties that are still considered hot spots. And so they have delayed opening up those counties until now a week or 10 days from now, and they're going to revisit that at that time. See, to me, that's what should have been taking place in Michigan. We obviously, Southeast Michigan was very hot, and the rest of rural Michigan, the UP, there's not as many cases. So why couldn't we do the same approach? Because remember, when this all came out, what she said, the reason why she put down her tyrannical hammer onto us was because we need to flatten the curve. We didn't want to overwhelm the hospital staff. That was the whole reasoning on why she did that. But we flattened the curve. And why does she continue to go on live media and use fear and say cases and deaths? Well, the whole point of you dropping that down and using your executive orders to rule over us was to make sure we don't overwhelm the hospital staff. But you know, and most of Michigan knows, and now most of America knows, that these hospitals are literally going out of business. People are being laid off. So we've achieved that initial goal. So doesn't it make sense to slowly start to open up? And that's where I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's driving her decision-making process, because more and more of the data is starting to be released across the United States that this is going down. We're doing a great job. So why are we still in this fear mode in Michigan? It's time to move forward, and I feel that we, the people, need to start contributing to these solutions.
So how were you addressing those comments or anything that maybe were not in accordance with your group and would have been disturbing, would have crossed the line into actually being violent or hate speech or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
How were you dealing with that stuff?
So our group of moderators, and I'm learning more about Facebook than I ever have. I was the old guy with technology, but I'm starting to get familiar how it runs. But you know, you can put keyword searches in there, and what would happen is if anybody put, like, you know, Hitler, hate, or any of these keywords, it would basically alert us to that comment, and our moderators and admins, they're like a swarm of bees, they would go to it, and if it wasn't positive, they would remove it. And we had a whole bunch of these keywords in place to limit it, but you have to remember, when you grow to almost 400,000 people in a week and a half, you know, things are going to get through, right? And we were getting like 10,000 posts a second. We were getting 250,000 comments an hour. And that was how much energy was on there. And that's how many people were expressing their anger and the hurt and the frustration. Because I said this yesterday, I wish I could take credit on why this movement grew so big so fast, that it was because of my charismatic abilities and my smile and my positive energy. It wasn't me. This is way bigger than me. This group exploded because the amount of people that were hurting, that were frustrated, that were angry, that were in fear, that had no hope. And that's why, as we evolve this into our new organization, Stand Up Michigan, is we want to be the lantern in the darkness of today's challenges. We want to allow people to have hope. We want to start to connect people in to their local businesses and churches and start having people get active, because again, I'll always go back to, these solutions have to come from us, we the people. And we can't depend on the government. It has to come from us.
Yeah, I know that personal responsibility theme seems to continue to rise to the surface as well, that we all have a responsibility to make good choices about our own health and what we're comfortable with, right? So if I'm not comfortable going out for X, Y, Z reason, I need to stay home. But then also, when I am out, how can I protect other people in case I'm unknowingly carrying this virus? But then also, how can I protect myself from others who may be doing the same? But then I think just gauging our own level of comfort with, you know, the way certain businesses do handle it. I'm sure that there may be some businesses that will handle it in a way that I may not be comfortable with. And so I have the right to not go there. You know, there may be businesses that handle it in a way that, you know, it makes me feel super comfortable and safe, and I may patronize those places more. So personal responsibility.
Right on. You are 100%. Are you a member of our group? Because you're speaking a lot of common sense right now.
You know what? I don't have time to be a member of any groups right now. My gosh, my news job has been completely overwhelming. I literally started doing the news on March 16th. So yay! So this is a new gig for me, but and I'm rolling with the punches, but yeah.
You and me both, girl, and everything you just said, I can't say it better. And that's why the solutions have to come from we the people, because you just had unbelievable, fantastic, common sense solutions. And that's what I've been on my soapbox for the last 5 weeks is, number one, we are never against the quarantine. Even though there has been media outlets that labeled us that we are against the quarantine, absolutely not. We weren't. We didn't know what this virus was. We didn't know what was going to happen. And we believe in social distancing. And we understand that there are people at risk, especially the elderly and immunocompromised people, and they have to stay safe. But I'm going to take what you said and run with it. Yes. I mean, as you should take this responsibility on yourself. And if you go to a business and you don't feel safe, then it's your choice to not go and support that business. And that's where I feel as adults, as American citizens, you know, give us a chance to prove to you that we can do these decisions, because we all want the same thing. We all want to keep our loved ones safe. We all want to make sure that our economy doesn't crash, because we have said this from the beginning, the solution to this crisis, this pandemic, can't be bigger than what's going to happen as you continue to lay down these laws and stuff and make sure that people can't get back to work, because you know this, you've been hearing this, increased suicides. I just heard this stat yesterday in a podcast interview that I did, that the suicide hotline, their calls is up 1,000%. And now we have increased domestic violence. We have all these bad things, and now people are stressed. I'm a chiropractor, so I deal with the health and wellness of people's bodies, and stress on a body is bad, and stress is supposed to be let go. But if people are stressed for 6 to 7 weeks straight and have no hope, bad things are going to happen to not only their body but to their life. And so there are bigger things going on right now, but thank you so much for saying exactly what my heart felt, and I could not have said it better. Thank you.
Well, and I do, I mean, I understand the big picture that there are people out there that are concerned that not everyone does make good choices with their personal responsibility, right? So, you know, you experience this with your Facebook group, you know, you're trying to do something that's empowering for people, and some people use it and they take that tool and they use it for evil, you know, and that happens a lot. And so I do understand that sometimes there's a trust issue with individuals, with the greater society. Like, if we let them use their own judgment and discernment, will they really be able to make good choices? You know what I mean? So they see people going off doing crazy things. Like you said, domestic violence is increased, you know, drug use is increased, all this stuff. So there is an element of like just having a healthy understanding that yes, some people with their personal responsibility are going to make bad choices. They're going to do, you know, things that put other people at risk and potentially themselves or their children. So I don't want to discredit that, because I feel like there needs to be a voice for that concern as well as we move forward, because to just say, well, no, everybody will just do the right thing, and I don't think you're saying that, but to say that would be, I guess, dehumanizing to people who are concerned seeing people make bad choices, you know? So
Jesse, you're exactly right, and we hit on this. I was on an interview with, I think, Fox 66 yesterday, where he went Facebook Live, and so we were getting a lot of the other side that were hammering me on the live video. And it was, I answered the questions and reassured them that we're all in this together, because, look, no matter what you do as a governor, it's your job to govern people. And I feel that good leadership, great leadership, is you want to inspire people and you want to bring out the best in people. Now, no matter what people and what you do to people or lead people, there are always going to be that certain amount of people that will do the wrong things, right?
Yeah.
But I really feel everything that you just said is those people are always going to be, you know, the people that act out, that do the wrong things, that will go against the process. But I feel that 99% of society are going to do what's right for the whole. I truly believe that, because I believe 99% of society is good and it is full of love. And so that's what we have to allow them to show everybody else and lead the way. Now, you're always going to get those yahoos that unfortunately make those bad decisions, you know, especially like one of the bad decisions that we saw early on in this pandemic were all the spring breakers breaking all the rules, right?
Right.
They went down there like, I'm young, I don't care. And we were saying, even I was saying, like, hey, little Billy, Susie, you're going to go back and hug grandma and grandpa and you can be carrying the virus. You know, that wasn't smart, right?
Yep.
So I feel that's where the education can come into, because I feel that this happens so fast that we're just kind of, okay, what's going on? And we're in a whole new journey right now, but we have to learn from this. And we can't do the definition of insanity and repeat the same mistakes over and over again. And that's why I feel moving forward, if we use common sense solutions from we the people and get our elected officials to work together, and we know that that's not a perfect situation. But however, we're starting to see the effects of what happens when one person decides to rule. And it's not good. And that's why Michiganders are suffering right now, especially with the blanket approach that is happening. I mean, she's not even giving us a plan, even hope of when. Yeah. She keeps threatening that she's going to extend it. And that is freaking people out. And people are like, when is this going to end? And people are losing hope. And that's why as we evolve this conversation into our movement, Stand Up Michigan, we are going to be a platform to help these people, to consistently inform them with reliable, up-to-date information. And then we're going to activate them to start doing common sense things in their communities as we move Michigan forward. And I'm a visionary. I have big goals. My organization has big goals. And we want to be the state that recovers the fastest, because I feel Michiganders are tough as nails. We are determined. And when we face a problem, we're going to overcome it, and we're going to be a better people for it. We're going to be a better state. And that will bleed over to the other states in this, and we'll be a better country for it.
To learn more about Garrett and hear more interviews like this one, click on Limelight at WGRT.com. That's it for this edition of Limelight. Have fun out there, learning, working, and playing. Until next time. For WGRT, I'm Jesse Wiegand.